This is KPDO 89.3 FM in Pescadero and KZSG 90.7 FM in San Gregorio and KPDO.net, which streams KPDO and KZSG and is available to the whole world. And I am here with Michelle Dragony of Coastside Buzz, coastsidebuzz.com, the greatest resource of news on the South Coast. And we're going to be doing our very fun weekly Coastside Buzz report with news of Pescadero and the South Coast. And so we have so much to talk about, don't we?
Well, thank you, Catherine. Welcome to the weekend, Coastsiders. Here is the Coastside Buzz report for Friday, July 26th, 2024. After confusion and complaints, the San Mateo County Board of Supervisors, in a special meeting, approved the Pescadero Municipal Advisory Council to be reduced to 5 members from 13 for the 2024 election. There were a number of Brown Act violations that were unintended, hence the confusion, but it would seem that Pescadero is ready for candidates to file to run for office.
Yes, and just to remind people on that, if you go to San Mateo County website, and it's smcacre.gov, and go to the elections tab, you will find a place for candidates to sign up. And that is something that has to be done by August 9th. So if you have any interest at all, the elections office is there to help you.
They're very, very helpful. They want you to run. They're very enthusiastic.
Yes.
Yeah. In the same meeting, the San Mateo County supervisors postponed a decision on the Article 34 ballot measure. What's that? That's what I said. The measure will override a constitutional vote on subsidized housing. Cities at the meeting pushed back hard for local control. And so this is why the BOS has moved the decision to their next meeting. And they're trying to get to all of the city managers to ask them what their opinion is. I've already done a little bit of a straw poll, and the county needs to build more houses. And this is a really aggressive way for them to overtake hotels. Mm-hmm. So a little bit like the Williamson Act down your way. Mm-hmm. We're losing $300,000 a year because the county bought the Coastside Inn, which is at Highway 1 in Kelly. And so altogether in the last 3 years, we've lost $1 million.
That's a lot.
Where are we going to get that from? So over the hill, there's a lot of places because you've got, you know, San Francisco Airport right there. There's a lot of cities that have hotels, and it's a large part of their income. And TOT for Half Moon Bay it's more than half of our income.
Wow.
So we have to be careful about that. But at the same time, San Mateo County is trying to reach their RENA numbers, you know, their housing allocation numbers that the state is pushing on. So
there is a savings to the city of Half Moon Bay and having the homeless people housed, because they're not having to send them to emergency rooms. They're not having to deal with having, you know, homeless people on their streets. So there is an advantage. It's not just an outgo. There is some income from that.
Yeah, but they have a $4.5 million structural deficit, which is caused by the increase by 51%. $7 million is for the sheriffs and the 911 dispatch. And that was kind of a surprise. They're having a hard time. That's why they've got a sales tax that's going to raise $2 million. We have got a Hyatt hotel that if we built it, we would get $1 million in transient occupancy tax, TOT. Mm-hmm. So the city of Half Moon Bay has to look really, really hard at what their business model is. And it's, you know, it's a post-COVID thing. Another great news for Pescadero, Puente announced that they have created a housing solutions subsidiary, and they have launched their first project to preserve farm worker housing on the historic North Street property in Pescadero at the old Delano Nursery near Harley Farms. Great picture of the old Pescadero Union High School and the farm worker tenants standing in front of it. Have you guys all heard about this now?
Yes, of course. And it was spread around on Nextdoor. It was spread around by Puente themselves. And it is a very big deal. Right now, the organization that bought that property, which is the old high school, has no employees. It's an entity that was created for the purpose of purchasing this property so that it would not be lost as farm worker housing. And now they're going to refurbish it. The people are going to have to move out, and they promise to find people housing while it's being refurbished. At the moment, they have a shared kitchen or two. It's a cooperative housing situation. Mm-hmm. They're going to restructure it so that it is actual, you know, apartments, you might say. so that people have a better situation, those who need it. Some of it's dorm type housing, some of it's apartment type housing. They're just going to upgrade it. And so it is a really great thing, but it's the very beginning of a very great thing. And they have to get the money and the planning and the permits and all that. And then it's 13.5 acres besides that, which goes with that property. And so who knows what they could do with that? And that's, you know, for the future, right? Future dreams.
I was wondering if they could use the people who are the tenants to help do the work for the remodeling.
Some cases they can. I know that there are people there who can do that kind of work.
Years and years ago, we had this Moss Beach Park, and the model for that is there was a company that basically used local contractors and volunteers to build the park. And I remember, because I was a contractor, that I had a group of Cisco guys come to the park to help with, it was routing, there was digging, there was all kinds of stuff. And these guys had never seen a power tool before in their life. And at the end of the day, they were all talking about going to Home Depot to get themselves a router. So I think, you know, learning how to do sheetrock and plumbing, I learned how to do it through Time Life books. So the Mid-Coast Community Council had a thought-provoking presentation by engineer Bob Battaglio on Mid-Coast shoreline erosion. With decades of experience in being a surfer, he covered causes, impacts, and adaptation strategies. Being humble and not saying he solved the problems, he suggested several possible integrated solutions such as sand placement, aka dredging, living artificial reefs, and there's a really cool picture of his idea on the post, daylighting Deer Creek, which means taking the creek out of the culverts and bringing it up so that it can go around the breakwater and come out in the ocean. We have four creeks going into the harbor, which is why we have so much shoaling of sand. And also Highway 1 modification. It's worth a listen. It's an engineer's idea on how to fix the problem. So that's always cool.
That's very interesting. Yeah.
At the last California Coastal Commission's meeting, they had a presentation illuminating their struggles with providing a path for lower cost overnight hotel accommodations for low income residents. They are currently using on-site, off-site, and in-lieu fees mitigations, but a legislative decision may need to trickle down. As a bonus, Brittany Cozzolino, who used to be a Half Moon Bay planner, did the presentation. It was always kind of cool to see.
Is that a Cozzolino person who, I mean, they own the property up on near 92, right?
Yes, there's lots of Cozzolinos. I'm not sure if she's married in or if she's an original version, but she was on the planning staff for Half Moon Bay, and you know, she's now at superstar status.
Oh,
giving the
awesome
presentation to the California Coastal Commission. It was really neat.
Yeah, that's very cool.
And actually, you know, I think one of the things from a Pescadero point of view is there's a lot of people that I know are farm workers down there, but there's also people that are, you know, working at hotels and things like that. And nobody that works at a hotel can afford to stay at the hotel. And I think the Coastal Commission would like to see something like what airplanes do. You know, airlines allow people to use their airplanes to get from point A to point B less expensively. And there's not really a model for that for the hotels. The hotels have gotten, we used to have like Motel 6, so everybody would pay, you know, whatever, $6 a night. Yeah. All of those low cost hotels have disappeared. They've been bought up by people who make the hotel rooms $300 and $400 a night. So,
yeah, it's a big problem. And, you know, I think one of the answers is these hip hotels, these camps. You know, where people can stay in somebody's backyard and just use their shower as far as transients are concerned. Because I see that all the time with couch surfing or surfing.com, you know, where people can actually spend the night kind of thing, very low cost if they're a biker. And so maybe they can start looking at the models that the bikers use and the campers, you know, where you can just stay the night.
You're absolutely right. And it's really worth watching the permutations that they came up with. And indeed, hostels, they talked about hostels, communal living type of things, and having like a Latino population might not necessarily camp. Two of the commissioners were Latino, and they said, we don't camp. That might be just them, but we don't have camping gear. So a model like...
I think raw RV parks would be a great thing.
People have to have an RV. So a cheaper way to go is kind of like Costa Noa. Costa Noa has those cabins, so you don't have bedding. You just drive up with your car, and you can bring groceries and an igloo kind of thing. So I think they're they're really working hard at trying to make sure that people who are low income get access to the coast. There's a lot of people, especially in Southern California, there's a lot more hotels down there. And they're traveling 2 hours, 3 hours inland to come to work. And they can't afford to actually stay at their hotel that they've worked at for 20 and 30 years. And that is just really sad.
It is. And there are, like the hostel at Pigeon Point Lighthouse, there are lots of opportunities for them to have hostels and that sort of thing, a hostel type of a situation where you have shared chores and everybody helps out, is an ideal situation. Greyhound Rock, right down the coast from us, is sort of a camp overnight cheap place. Yeah. And, you know, there are people who live in their RVs, let's face it. And along the coast, you see that, especially as you approach Santa Cruz. So there, I think RV parks is another response that they should consider.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's overnight housing or overnight, you know, stay models that have to be very differentiated because people have different vehicles, different needs, different cultural contexts. So,
yeah.
After a pause in funding, the Sewer Authority Midcoast side finds new funding with the CDC's National Wastewater Surveillance System to continue the monitoring of infectious diseases. If you have been listening to national news, this is a big deal with the current COVID surge. Such knowledge can help people decide whether or not to go to a concert or get on a plane or wear a mask. And I think for people who are working down in Pescadero, in a lot of communal environments, it's good for them to know whether or not there's a COVID surge, because maybe it's better for them to work with masks for that period of time.
If we had a wastewater treatment system, that might really be helpful. Unfortunately, we don't, but this would be another good reason to have one. We might actually be able to monitor the effluent, you might say, from sewage treatment system, but we don't even have one of those.
Right.
So
right.
Interesting.
Okay, here's a real conundrum. The San Mateo County Harbor District is seeking $383,000 in back transient occupancy tax, also known as TOT, from the city of Half Moon Bay, and an MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, with the San Mateo County Sheriffs to expand ocean search and rescue. The TOT comes from the Harbor District's Surfer Beach RV Park. This is a complicated jurisdictional issue involving a cherry stem.
What?
Cherry stem, yep. So the city of Half Moon Bay in 1959, when they incorporated, had the presence of mind to create the city all the way from where Half Moon Bay is. And they've got a cherry stem of ownership that goes all the way up to the harbor where Sam's restaurant is. And so that means that the Surfers Beach RV Park, we just had the bathroom remodeled there, or the restroom. The city of Half Moon Bay was the lead agency, but the Harbor District paid for it. So it's a complicated relationship. Highway 1 is there. You've got Caltrans, you've got the county, you've got the city. But the TOT has been going to Half Moon Bay, and the Harbor District is like, well, that's our RV park. We've paid for some incidentals here, like a new restroom. And they want to do search and rescue 24/7, 365, but they've never been funded for it. And when the new general manager came along, he noticed that there were people that were doing search and rescue in an unsafe way by going to rescue somebody by leaving the harbor, taking the boat and going and doing the rescue with maybe Coast Guard or whatever it was. There should always be two people on the boat and there should be one person in the harbor. So they're looking to hire 6 harbor masters, deputies, and that's going to cost some real money, and it's not going to be a grant. It's got to be something that's consistent over time. And they just increased their RV park rent from $3,000 a month to $15,000 a month. So that means there probably will be more TOT for them. There's 40 campsites or RV sites at $119 per site. And when you multiply that out to 365, the owner of the RV park, or the lessee that leases from the Harbor District, they're making $1.7 million a year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so there's some real money in the RV industry right there.
Yeah, gosh.
I wonder if that's something that Pescadero could kind of get into.
Well, Costa Nova is doing that. I mean, they have also a section, not with the tents, but where they rent spots. It's like a KOA camp. And it is a KOA camp. But as far as in town here, gosh, yes, we've talked about, wouldn't it be great if we could do something like that? But it's not in our hands. You know, we're not incorporated. Everything's in the hands of the county. And, you know, trying to get anything where there are more people here is really difficult. There's always a big debate about they're pushing back because they don't think there's water, even though there is, and they don't think that there's infrastructure, which they won't allow us to have. And yeah, it's talk about a conundrum. Right. It's an ongoing one. Right. Yeah.
All right. Another great job opportunity. The California Coastal Conservancy, which is the staff arm of the California Coastal Commission, is looking for a deputy executive officer. They ask, do you love the coast, the environment, supervising people, and public agency management? If you do, it pays $10,000 to $12,000 a month. The workplace is in Alameda, but they allow remote work as well.
Wow, that sounds really good. Yeah, what a great job. If you have the skills, that'd be so fantastic.
I know for the last 3 weeks, there's just been some great jobs that are coming up right now.
Yeah.
Pacific Ecologic proposed brown pelican tracking using electronic leg bands and the MOTUS sensor system at Pillar Point Harbor. Fabulous presentation. I kayak in the harbor all the time, and I love how the pellies skim low by my boat. I can't wait to learn more about them. Apparently, Pillar Point Harbor is one of the largest brown pelican pass-throughs. I see them passing through all of the time. And I guess there's a gap in their monitoring system, so they want to contract with Pillar Point. And the harbor commissioners are very interested in making Pillar Point more of a science-oriented harbor. I think this is it's a nice addition.
Well, you know what? They might learn something from Año Nuevo State Wildlife Reserve. We were down there for a beautiful walk to go see the male molt. The big guys are in. It is their annual male molt right now. And so if you want to go to Año Nuevo, this is a great time to go. And there are, oh, hundreds, thousands of pelicans, brown pelicans in there. You know, they sit on all of the rocks waiting for the fish at dawn and dusk. I mean, they're all over the place. So they're being, talk about a science experiment. Everything in that wildlife reserve is being monitored, how many seals there are and how many babies are being born. And the sea lions across the way on Año Nuevo Island are also being counted. So they might talk to Año Nuevo. Susan Blake is the person who's the docent coordinator, I know, and she can lead us to, she is so fantastic at gathering all the science that's going on there. So that's a resource they might
consider. Maybe you can share the post with her and she can see the presentation, and the lady actually gave her phone number out on camera.
Really? Okay. I will.
She's eager to network.
That's good. Okay.
Last bit of news is fisher people. The San Mateo County Pillar Point Harbor launch ramp, restroom, and boat rinse replacement project is out for design, engineering, and permitting. Construction funding to follow. And hopefully when we dredge next year, that'll make it easier for the boats to get into the water, because they have to, currently they're doing a land scoop of the sand that gets by the boat ramp. And they're running out of space where to put the sand. They just put it back on the beach, but we need to really get it up over the breakwater. And check out the Coastside Buzz calendar for lots of events, and peruse the Coast Views Music and Entertainment Guide, which has all the music from Pescadero to Pacifica and in between every week, all in one place. This week on the Buzz calendar, there is the Half Moon Bay Summer Concert Series. It's in August, all Saturdays from 4 to 6. And the End of Summer Festival is in September. Check it out. If you're a runner, there's a 5K Tiki Trot in Pacifica, Half Moon Bay History Lecture on Pigeon Point. Don't forget the tour at Burley Murray Ranch this weekend. And Catherine, I know you had a couple of things.
Yes, I do. So I promised last week that we would give you more details about the barn sale. So the annual barn sale this year is September 14th from 9 to 4. If you're interested, you still have time to sign up for a space. They're a 20 by 20 space, and you can contact Wendy Wardwell at 650-346-8969 or Carol Ellsworthy at 831-334-7877. Also, PAF, Pescadero Arts and Fun Festival, and the South Coast Artists Alliance Art Show takes place on the third weekend of August every year. And so Friday, August 17th, will be the big South Coast Artists Alliance show. Always a major event. It's the one big dress-up night for all the people in Pescadero. And we all go there to buy art, or at least peruse, really have a good time. And at the same time, They start setting up their booths. And then Saturday and Sunday is the festival itself. Live music the whole time. And it's from 10 to 6 every day. They have many booths, all sorts of vendors, both local and from other places, and many nonprofits set up to do fundraising at that venue. So it's a major deal for our whole community. So that's important for everybody to know about. And also, we should mention sooner than that, August 13th, there's going to be a community engagement meeting on Station 59. So Fire Station 59, which is right out by Highway 1, is being moved to the high school campus. And they've had one meeting so far. There were several meetings over the years, but now finally they're at the point where they're engaging the community in the actual design of the campus. And so there is going to be a meeting on August 13th in the evening. It's going to be at the multipurpose room or cafeteria of the high school. And so everybody in the community is welcome to attend, and they're going to have kind of a show and tell, and people get to choose between different design options. So it's important for people to participate in that. And we'll probably have more details about that next week as well.
Nice buzz, Catherine. Love it.
Lots going on.
The Coastview's music calendar drops every Wednesday, and the weekly Buzz Mail news edition posts on Thursday. Subscribe for free to stay tuned to the buzz. And this is Michelle Dragony for KPDO.
Thank you so much, Michelle. That was awesome.
Thank you.